bana quick gitmedim.
Coming up on the Sports Weekender, we have former All Black AJ Whitten as we look forward to the All Blacks versus South Africa and Baltimore in the USA tomorrow. We also look at NPC Women's Rugby. We speak with Stephen Harris as we look at the Blackburns playing France. We look at the Farah Palmer Cup. We had a pre-record this morning with Joey Green on NRL and on some of our provincial competitions happening around the country. We're going Americana with NFL. We speak to Darren Lee from Third and Footlong Show, which is here on Planet FM, as we look at that historic match yesterday in Melbourne. And we look at the NFL season ahead. Football with Seamus Martin from Between Two Bears. We look at everything from EPL to the preview in the Chatham Cup finals. Then we go tennis with former Davis Cup captain Jeff Simpson as we look at the final Grand Slam of the year, the US Open, and our panel is Brendan Telfer and Mark Watson. So strap yourself in. Welcome everyone into the Sports Weekend. I hope you're hearing me loud and clear. Anyway, before we go any further, to our a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap. They have a selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food and music Wednesday through to Sunday. Make your way to Father Ted's. Make it your destination, especially tomorrow with CRL opening. They'll be open from 12. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, it is a big weekend of sports and a big weekend of rugby. Big match at 9 o'clock tomorrow. A more suitable time for a lot of us in the United States of America. Please welcome former All Black AJ Whitten. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Peggy. She's a bit windy out there, and it may make it a bit difficult for the blue and white this afternoon at Eden Park. But, looking forward to the big match, 9 o'clock. It's good for us old pensioners, so we can have a bit of a lie.
Well, I reckon you'll probably be going on that CRL, you know, using your gold card.
Well, no, it's not for me, my friend. I'll leave that to other people. I'll leave that for the kiddies. I hear they've got a kiddies day, so you'll be jumping on board free of charge, so fill your boots.
No. I'm definitely going to have a look at it. I reckon it'll be bloody great, actually, AJ.
Well, I'll tell you what they've done for you. For those people that may be lacking in a bit of height, they've moved those hold-on straps down to 5 foot, so you'll be able to hang on, my friend, so grab one.
Brilliant as always, AJ. Brilliant as always. Anyway, we might as well get into it. The All Blacks have picked their side for this international against South Africa in the final international of their. There's been a number of changes to this All Blacks side. Changes are Morby comes in. Leonard Brown comes in, Mwanga is back, Ethan Blackadder, after some really good tour, has the number 7 jersey. Patrick Tuipulotu gets his shot, Ethan de Groot, Cody Taylor, Fletcher Newell, and on the bench have brought in Rico Oni and Bowden Barrett. Yeah, your thoughts on this, AJ?
Well, look... 2-1 up. I'll see that we've had a lot of changes. Bit of a question mark, to be honest. I know the boys have been beaten up or whatever, but that's international rugby. I see the South Africans, on the opposite, have only made 2 changes, so it's quite ironic. And it shows you how seriously they're taking this match in Baltimore. I thought they would make some wholesale changes, but you know what? Erasmus, he said no. this is one we want to win, and he put his team out there accordingly. Van den Berg comes in at halfback, and the Reinhardt's on the bench, and of course Williams comes back in for Colby, who's injured with a broken jaw. So that tells me they are dead serious, and with that tight five in that front row of Lowe and Marks, that's very intimidating. So the boys are going to have to really front up. I know they'll be fresh, they'll be eager. You mentioned obviously Blackadder after some good performances. Just a bit of query about match fitness. I know he hasn't played for a couple of weeks. Tui Palutu back in, that'll give him some big weight and advantage, I think, in the go forward ball. Larkai, who I've always thought has had a good season, deserves his shot. Lai on the side, well, he's playing some really good rugby, and let's hope that combination goes well. You mentioned Mwanga, and I did predict he would have a run. I think Dave Rennie and the coaching staff want to see where he is, what he can bring to the party. We know he's a seasoned veteran. Are they throwing a bit of caution to the wind with a pretty new lineup through 10 changes? That is quite major for a test match. So, with that, yeah, bring it on. A lot of enthusiasm, I know, will be brought to them, but can they get that consistent ball which they need to set these backs alight? And also, are they going to get enough quality ball? Watch out for that scrum. It's going to be very interesting to see how these young men handle this enormous pack in the bocce.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have really struggled at scrum time in the series. Now, a lot of people will say South Africa has won the series already. This is the dead rubber. But for the All Blacks, it's about confidence.
I think so. And also, think of Dave Rennie and see where some of these players are. I mean, let's remember, we've got a World Cup next year. So I think he's blooding some of these guys. He's putting them into the cauldron and saying, right, here's your opportunity. I think they'll probably go out and think they won't certainly be favourites, but that could turn to their advantage. What do they have to lose? So I think we'll see some entertaining football from them. They will not want to mix it too physically with them, but certainly around the ruck area, they have to get more physical in that area and really take it to the box. So contest and lineouts, yes. Steady scrum, I think that's what they want, and see if we can get some quality ball to this back line, because if they get it right, I have no doubt they'll run some really good tries.
Absolutely. Wow. Talking about what has been brilliant this year has been the CMPC. Thursday night, Slim Mackay is doing somersaults as we speak. Those who don't know who Slim Mackay is, it's the one and only Hamish Mackay. Manawatu 27, Taranaki 25.
Yeah, look, they're going, you know what, when's the last time you could say Manawatu's had four wins? Yes, there have been a couple of there on the hooter. But, boy, are they playing some good rugby and enterprising rugby. And you mentioned this competition. I'm going to say this highlights NPC is one of the best I've seen. It just seems to go from strength to strength. And it's pivotal. It's pivotal in our development of young men who go on to that next level at Super Rugby or go on to wear the black jersey. So I think we've a lot of critics have been shut up. They realise now this is a great comp. It's got a lot of energy, a bit of tribalism, and of course with the boys up north with the Ranfurly Shield, it's just come alive. It's exciting stuff, and I can't wait to watch another seven games this weekend.
Absolutely, and of course last night, what a cracking game this was. Otago 57, Tasman 33.
Yeah, you've got to be on your best to win down in the deep south there in Dunedin. They're turning it into a bit of a old days of, you know, you're coming to our house. I think there's some really good talent that have come through. Obviously, we talk about Casey and Leo Willey, and hey, what a great combination. And Leo Willey is really leading from the front. Casey, well, he's been the find of the last season, hasn't he? Good front rifle. Ballot too played well. Miller, of course, he had a few knocks, but just Nariki again. They've got some experience with youngsters, and mind you, Tasman, they came to the party, scored a couple of cracking tries. Havili, well, he's talent. And Toimaa Falau on the wing, well, he scored a couple of cracker tries. So, look, it's just entertainment. And but Otago, yep, they're definitely looking top four material.
Absolutely. And then we go to the weekend games. Well, this one is a big one. It's, and many would say it's a bit of a Central South derby here in the 09, but Auckland versus Counties Manukau. Auckland really need to win this one, AJ.
They have to keep any chance alive to make that top eight. They're sitting in third bottom there. They need to get a win at least and some bonus points. Look, it's their own doing. They've started well in the season against Canterbury, but unlucky not to get that one across the line, and then Wellington, and then from there it's been downhill. So, huge game at Eden Park. It is Alumni Day. I'll be out there, of course, saying a few words. I'll be seeing some of my old compatriots, and we'll be out there as a guard of honour. So, a lot of pride online here. It is the clash of the Bombay. They really have to step up there. I see Baker's come in at number six. I rate him. But the halfback first five combination, Ascot and Harford, they really need to get it together to get this back line alight. But it starts up front. Big match from Angus again to keep that scrum going. But this is a no-nonsense Counties Manukau side. I like that combination. Alatemu at number 10 with Papali'i. He's a handful. They've got some exciting backs, some really no-nonsense forwards. Brash at number 7 is a menace. So they're going to have to try and dominate there. And I know there's a big crowd coming out from Counties. I've heard from some of my colleagues down there. They want to rub it in, and three or four busloads. So expect a pretty decent crowd out there today, this afternoon.
Well, but believe it, you can bring your dog into the stadium today.
Yes, it is dog day out there. Sadly, I won't
it's not going to be dog night. Day afternoon for Auckland, is it?
They've got some things going on. Of course, the Auckland Storm.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well done to Anna Richard. Yeah, Anna Richard. And Mona Lisa Codlin for organising that reunion. So that's great.
Yeah, so that'll be great for them. But it is a dog day, but Birdie May won't be able to go because I'll be busy. But, yeah, great incentive and an opportunity for people and kids to get out there.
Okay. Anyway, we move on. 5:05. What a match this is. Northland versus Waikato. Let's hope. Now, there'll be most of New Zealand, apart from the people living in Manawatu, will be wanting Northland to win. The Manawatu people will want Waikato to win because they get the next Shield Challenge, but I just hope it stays up there for another, and at least stays up there for another week.
Well, Pete, I think the majority of us are all in the same boat, except those Merlu supporters. Northland kept the Shield after a great match against Tasman, a real old doom dire affair. This is what Shield Rugby can be about. So they've got a front up again. Another huge crowd will be out there. 9 or 10 changes from their match against Harbour. If you remember last week, I picked Harbour to win because of the changes, and it proved to be, Peggy. So they're really concentrating.
Okay, here
on
we go.
Field.
Yeah.
Waikato, after their got a bit of a toweling last week, they'll be back into it. I know they've got the Kamara there at number 10. He's playing some good rugby. But Northland at home, well, yeah, you've got to stick with them. Made the multiple changes back. That loose forward trio, which, you know, I always look at, Rush, Pytier and Hooper, he's playing some good rugby. Mullen in number 2 there, he's a go-getter with good hair and a big lock. But look at that back line. Knock and Rahana, so pivotal. Evans, Murray, Rahm, Trainer, experience, and Rush. They get good quality ball. They can open up any back line. So, yep, Northland, I think they'll be too good at home, and I think it's going to be another cracker.
Anyway, we move on to the 7:05 game, Canterbury versus Wellington.
Whoa, it's been a tough season for Wellington, and we know how they feel. I think they've just made a couple of changes to the lineup. I see, obviously, Criffey's again back at his normal position at number 7 where he should be, but Canterbury at home in their stadium. As I said, they got talent. I mean, new stub at number 15 and Punavai there as a finisher. McLeod, who I rate very highly in midfield. Chapman at number 9 there. And as I said, that Gardner, you know, we're mentioning some well-known names, Callow in the loose forwards and McAllister front row with Leonard Brown. Just too much guns, I think, for this Wellington side. That is really quite young, some new names. Yes, Harkin there at number 10, but they are really struggling to put a 80-minute effort together, and this is going to be a tough match for them to win.
Anyway, we move on to Sunday. Now, this one looks like it's going to be an absolute cracker. Hawke's Bay, who have really been the trailblazers, have been far ahead of anyone in this NPC, take on North Harbour. North Harbour, to me, have had a fantastic season. You know, what we've seen done there, and I'll give it to North Harbour, they've done it mostly with club footballers too.
Oh, no, you've got to take your hat off to them, even though they bet my Auckland side, which hurts. But, look, Hawke's Bay, 6 out of 6. You can go through the back line, we know, but Godfrey there at number 10 is certainly instrumental with Whakatava. That combination is probably the best in the competition at present. You've got Lahore, Flanders. What a great combo in the loose forwards there, and they match it up with a very solid front five. So that's where it starts. They dominate in the forwards. They may be a bit slow to start at times, but they certainly come home with a rush. So, but North Harbour, yep, agree. This Melbourne at number 7's had an outstanding season. Tui Tupu at number 6 is a big man. Bryn Hall, I think, brought some experience and solidity to the back line. And we know Howell's been around at number 10, and so they've got some good finishes. Look at Leota and Banks, boy. They know where the try line is. So, look, this should be one of the games of the round, apart from the Ranfurly Shield. And Hawke's Bay at home, yes, but they will be tested.
And then we move on to Southland versus Bay of Plenty. Now, this one here, Southland, they're there or thereabouts, but for Bay of Plenty, they really need this to stay within that top 8.
Yep, they do, and Southland, of course, they started well in the season, but at the Bay of Plenty, they're sitting on 10th place on 17 points, so they'll be marking this one as a must-win also, and if they can go down to Invercargill and steal this match from the Stags, they'll be very happy indeed. So big games again, you'll be looking at Dunshire leaving in the second road. Rate him very much for this experience. Shearer at number 9 there. Gregory, we know, is a good player for Southland there. So, look, they'll turn up the heat there. They don't like losing at home. They'll throw everything at this Bay of Plenty side, but they'll be disappointed last week. Arcoy, the captain, was very disappointed in the speech afterwards. So, look, I expect them to turn it around there. Hohepa at number 10 there with Weber outside him and some very good running backs out wide. So, a close one. I don't know if it'll be pretty because I think both of them are desperate. But I'm picking Bay of Plenty to come away with the points.
Absolutely. Well, AJ, what's the day up? Obviously, you'll be going to this. Oh, you'll be at Eden Park today. You'll be saying a few words, obviously, about yourself.
That's correct. It's Alumni Day. So, yep, big day there. I'll be saying a few words of welcome and say thanks to my old mates. Talking about my exploits really on the field, how I helped them all become household names, really, which is what I do. If people look back at the tapes on YouTube, you'll see number 6 in action. But we'll be having a few jars of the brown liquid. We'll be talking rubbish. But it's just a great opportunity, not only to see our blue and whites take on counties, but just to catch up with some lifelong friends. And this is what the game of rugby does, Peggy. It just keeps us all in touch.
Yeah, and I have to say, I was going through YouTube the other day, and I found an old video of the good, the bad, and the rugby. You and Kerwin spent most of the time playing cards and drinking on that tour.
Well, obviously it affected.
Well,
one
Kerwin
more
done
other.
More, but Kerwin had to do more because he was doing a video. But it brings back a lot of old memories of touring, doesn't it?
It does. Well, hopefully I educated JK and a few others on the experiences of life. But what
you can never educate JK. He will always have the last words.
He'd have the last word, all right. But what a great opportunity to travel the world, represent your country, great bunch of mates, experiences, and just a very, very fortunate biggie. And it's one that, as I say, I'll keep on remembering and for as long as I live.
Absolutely. AJ, you have a wonderful weekend. Cheers, mate.
You look after yourself, mate. Walk tall or wear those high heel shoes you do in the dark.
That's my personal business. Okay, bye-bye.
See you, boy.
AJ Wheaton, very, very funny man. Okay, next up we're going to talk a bit of Black Ferns and Farah Palmer Cup with Stephen Harris.
Takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Get my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah. I put my own rules to you. I'll swim again. I put my own rules.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and a big shout out to Force Electrical. Now, Force Electrical started about 2014 by my old mate Nick Barakovich, and it's grown into a trusted name across the wider region. Why you should choose them? First of all, they're reliable and they have knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest industry standards and technology. What they do? Well, what can't they do? They can do anything from residential, commercial. They'll do ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters, battery storage and ELV solutions. So, any electrical work, whether it's around the house, whether it's at your business, whether it's at your batch, give Nick a call at Force Electrical. His number is 021-628-341, or you can email him nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. Well, we head into another round of Farah Palmer Cup, and also a small subject of the Black Ferns versus France. Here to join us, Stephen Harris. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Amon. Always a privilege and a pleasure to be on the show, mate. Never a chore.
Oh, consistency. I always love that. Always love that saying, Stephen. Anyway, mate, big match for the Black Ferns versus France. And, of course, Ruhe Dumont is out of the tour, so they've had to make some enforced changes to the match, which Whitney Hanson would have probably preferred to have Dumont there for her experience with this match against France.
Yeah, you're dead right. This is a bit of a massive loss. Of course, the last time these two teams met was in last year's World Cup, that third and fourth playoff game where New Zealand got across the line by 42 points to 26. And you know, you look at both of those teams from last time round. Boy, there's a few missing, isn't there? You know, obviously no longer Portia Woodcliffe there, or Reno Holmes, and indeed Ruahe Dumont, Pody Reese Lane, Georgia Miller, Olsen Baker. So yeah, a lot of new players there, and of course Kulavane, who was the tight head prop for that game as well. So definitely a lot of that experience that they had previously gone out of the side. Sorensen McGee moving into fullback, still a pretty useful midfield in terms of Brunt and Duplessis, and of course that combination of Joseph and King are going to be huge. But it's really important that the forward pack stands up to what will be a very, very good French team. I had a quick look through their team as well, and man, there's not a lot of change as well. They've got the very classy Bordeaux playing at halfback as well. They will be a very hard nut to crack.
Absolutely, and of course, when we look at it, of course, this is a part of a Northern League of WX1 where they play Scotland and England, so there will be some interest on there. As we know, France are coming here in October for a series, which I think will be an absolute cracker of a series.
Fantastic. Just when we thought we'd had enough of getting up in the early, just a reminder, this game kicks off tomorrow at 3:45 a.m. from Lyon. So make sure you set your clocks for it. Might take you through to an early breakfast, and like, you can stay up and wait for the All Black game to kick off. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting. They're going to obviously require a lot from the likes of Mama Vaipuli, who I see will be coming off the bench for the Black Ferns. But yeah, definitely a tough assignment next up. I see New Zealand, interestingly enough, are going in as favourites at $1.35. France $3, and like I say, if you go down that channel, do bet responsibly.
Absolutely.
I've got to say, but it just tells you where probably the odds are at the moment. I find that quite interesting, to be brutally honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Stephen. Well, the Farah Palmer Cup, there was a game in the Championship, a good big win for the Otago Spirit against Tasman, who probably will struggle in this competition this year. So the Spirit won 58-11.
Yeah, far too strong. I actually didn't realise that game was actually being played on a Friday, but it looked like it was curtain raiser to last night's NPC game between Tasman and Otago. And listen, a good bounce back from Otago. They finished just a little bit too late up in the far north against the Kauri last Saturday. But listen, they'll be happy to actually get on the board. I thought they might have been one of the favourite teams for that championship division, but at least that has them sitting nicely in third place at the minute.
Anyway, we move on to the weekend in the Farah Palmer Cup. A couple of games in the Premiership, one game in the Championship today. So the first one, the Auckland Storm versus Counties Manukau Heat. Now, this is quite a big occasion for the Storm. They're having a reunion of ex-players, and well done to Anna Richards and Mona Lisa Codling. They've been really two of the ones that have been driving this. So this one, I think you have to back the Storm on this.
Oh, very much so. And listen, really well led by a veteran, if I can say that, Eloise.
Yeah.
Blackwell, who just seems to roll out every season and get another, another year under her belt. And of course, Aldora Aitonu, who's been around for a while as well. But boy, you throw in some great youngsters as well. Topher Basin, the open side flanker, who's going great guns, can probably find herself a bit unlucky that she's not over in France at the minute. But I've been really impressed with Carla Wright, Akeli the winger. So they just seem to be producing some really good outside backs in Auckland at the moment. And I also like the way Holly Ray has been going at second five, just turning into a really good solid player and well led around by the nose by their nine, Melanie Reid, who happens to be their goal kicker as well. For the Counties team, they probably, last week probably identified that maybe they're probably in and around fitness. They should be a lot fitter than what they were. They got run down by the Cyclones last weekend. But once again, they will be a tough nut to crack, especially up front. They have some great up front runners in Leilani Parisi and also for Stephen to get them over the advantage line. And of course, the very well travelled Arono Tereinga at number eight, who's one heck of a ball carrier as well. And of course, I mentioned Hazel Tubrick before, a lot of experience from her as well as that final out on the wing.
Absolutely. And of course, the other game in the Premiership, it's Waikato versus the Bay of Plenty Volcanics.
Yeah, Waikato will probably think they were probably a little bit unlucky against Auckland last weekend. Auckland just running them down right at the F and death. And, you know, they're a side that, they play with a lot of spirit, and, you know, a lot of it can be more emphasised by Grace Hopapa Barrett, who came off the bench and scored a couple of tries last week. But, you know, they'll be relying once again on their pack and a reasonably slick back line to do the job. I think they'll be far too strong for a Bay of Plenty team that's just struggling a bit in 2026.
Absolutely. And of course, the Championship, it's the Northland Cowrie versus the North Harbour Hibiscus, a curtain raiser before the Big Shield match.
Yeah, should be. Listen, really good win for the Northland Cowrie last weekend, but they'll have to do without the very inspiring Crystal Murray, who's out for the rest of the season, unfortunately, with a high sprain. So that's going to be a heck of a loss. But one thing I will say, this is a very improved Harbour side from last year. In fact, they're probably one of the improvers of the competition, and the Kauri will have to be at their best. Listen, this is going to be on a pretty big stage for them, because I would imagine most of the crowd will be gathering or attending.
Yeah.
Before the Shield Challenge. So, gee, a lot will depend on the combination of Ollie O'Sullivan, who's played a bit Opiki rugby, and also Claudia Meltzer, who's the first five and fifth ex-Harbour girl as well. So a lot will be dependent on them as well. Shout out to Alia McCarthy, who will be off the bench for the Kauri, who will be playing her Blazer game. So well done to Alia, who only made her debut maybe a couple of seasons ago as a 17-year-old. So that's pretty amazing. But I'd go for the Kauri for the win, but it wouldn't surprise me if this went the other way.
We go to Sunday. Hawke's Bay Tui versus Wellington Pride. You'd have to go for the Pride in this one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so the Tui's done all right. They had that surprise win, shall we say, a couple of weeks ago. A good win last week against Tasman, but I'm not too sure if they've got the weapons to actually beat a very well balanced Wellington team. So I think the Pride will just be a little bit too strong, even though they have to travel up to the Bay today.
Absolutely, and of course the final match. Now I think this one is probably the match of the round. Manawatu Cyclones versus Canterbury. Manawatu, you know, they have they're very, very strong at home.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Big blow for them, though. They've lost Wikitoria Villian, who's been in a hot streak of form out on the wing, and she's pretty much gone for the season, unfortunately. Had an operation about three days ago on her ankle, so that's a heck of a loss. But they welcome back Carrie Gallinger, who actually played a few tests for the Australians a season or so back. So that's a good acquisition for the side. She's got a very, very good kicking game. So a lot will depend on how she manages this Cyclone team around. On saying that, Canterbury, a very good, very good side, had a really big win last weekend, and boy, they seem to be producing some very good loose forwards down in Christchurch at the moment. Maisie Allen playing in the 7 jersey, that's normally vacated by Lucy Jenkins, come up with 4 tries last weekend when they actually played, and I'll tell you that in a moment, when they were far too good for the Volcanics last weekend. So yeah, this is gonna be an interesting one. Boy, hard to pick, but I'll tell you what, there must be a ton of confidence running through the Cyclones at the moment. And you know what? I am very tempted to go for the Cyclones in this game.
Yeah, I don't think you're too far off the mark there, Stephen. Not at all. Anyway, Stephen, what's the rest of the day hold for you, mate?
Well, the last 10 to 12 days, I've been battling a little bit of illness, so I'm probably not going to stay too far from home. Of course, on a normal day, I would have been up making my way up to Whangarei.
Yeah.
Today for that Shield Challenge this afternoon. So, mate, I'm just going to park myself up and enjoy all the footy that's on. That's coming up. I'll probably try and get up for the Black Ferns game in the morning. Make a bit of brekkie and then sit down and watch the Springbok All Black Test at a more desirable time. Yeah. But I suppose the big one for me, being a Northlander, is Shield Challenge this afternoon against Waikato. Waikato have a Listen, they have a very good record of challenging for the Shield, and no doubt they will be up for it. I know this is a big game once again for the North and Taniwha team, because it's Sam Knox's 100th game, and a lot of the feedback I'm actually getting that they're actually playing for Sam Knox, and then the Shield is what I'm hearing. And once again, they're expecting another big crowd. Oh, listen, I've got to be loyal and go for the home side. But this is not going to be easy.
I'd expect nothing more from you there, Stephen. Hey, listen, I'll let you get back and just relax. And we'll catch up again next week, Stephen. Cheers.
Oh, absolutely. Hopefully back to 100%, my brother.
Oh, no, you're still doing good at 80. Good on you. Cheers, man.
Good on you. Good on you. See you, man.
Cheers. Stephen Harris, absolutely wonderful, mate. The way he can actually just just his memory and his analysis is just as good as anyone else in that game. And I know when I was speaking to my old mate Mark Watson, he agrees with me. So, yeah. Anyway, before we move on to our next segment, which was a pre-recording for the NRL, this segment is brought to you by WaterSmart. And so, weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash your car, rinse the bait station, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomato plants happy with a WaterSmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries, and different sizes to suit your property. So check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. As I said this morning, I was up at a bit of an earlier time because Joey Green is down in the Hawke's Bay for the National Provincial Championship. So we just done a quick pre-recording, so we will go to that, and I'll just put that on now. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM, and of course we go to our NRL part and our rugby league part of the show. Joining us from the Hawke's Bay, Joey Green, how are you?
Yeah, morning, mate. It's pretty cold and windy down here, but the sun's still out, so it should make for a good weekend of footy.
Yeah, well, let's hope so, because we've actually got... It is a big weekend of footy, and especially, of course, 6:05 tonight, Go Media Stadium, the Warriors versus the Dolphins. Well, big Leka Hamacena is back, Jackson Ford is back, but the Dolphins... 7 games in a row, and they haven't lost in 7 games in a row. They have probably the most lethal back line in the competition.
Yeah, it's a very intriguing challenge tonight for the Warriors as this Dolphins side. I think, like a lot of other pundits have been saying through the week, that the edge defence has caused a little bit of concern over the last month, you could say, from the Warriors, and I think against a side like the Dolphins, who you only have to look at their backline and see who's actually there, the Jack Bostocks, the Herbie Farnworths, the Salwyn Cobos, the Jermaine Asako, even the combination of Cody Nikorima and Isaiah Katoa, the amount of danger they pose to the Warriors defensively is going to, you know, basically see whether the Warriors are going to be about the challenges tonight or not. Yeah, when you look at the Warriors over the last few weeks, to be fair, they really haven't been that bad of a side as of late, to be fair.
No, I don't think they have been that bad of a side. I think last week, obviously, we could see in the edges they basically did get torn apart by the Sea Eagles, but reality is it's a different game. It's playoffs football. Obviously, a sellout crowd at Go Media. And, of course, for the Warriors to win, what's the game style you believe they need to play?
Well, I think, if anything, it's going back to what has won them a lot of games through the season, and just their middles being able to lay the platform for their guys on the edges to be able to do what they do best. I think if you can start to, you know, rely back on the James Fisher-Harris's, the Mitch Barnett's, now that Jackson Ford comes back into the side, very intriguing to see how that bench rotation is going to look. You've got to feel sorry for someone. I suppose there's a lot of other people do, for Eddie Aramir, for Yava, who over the last 4 to 6 weeks has probably been one of the Warriors players, and now that Jackson Ford comes back from his kick injury, he's probably going to be the one that does make way in the rotation for him. But you know, when you still look at that bench rotation as well, you've still got the Mitra Faimonga, Tanner Stowers, Smith have been impressive over the last couple of months since Jackson Ford has been injured. So I think that's basically where the game is going to be won, through the middle for the Warriors. Like you said, Manly last week really did test the edge defence through the likes of the Ruben Garrett, Clayton Falalo, Jason Saab, and I think that was a bit of a warning shot for the Warriors heading into this week. So I think if they can tidy that up and just cut down the time that Tabu Afido has on the ball at the back, as well as Cody Nikorima, I think the Warriors will be holding themselves pretty good heading into tonight.
Absolutely, and of course last night, well, for the Rabbitohs, the dream is over for 2026, as much as a lot of people wanted to see them have a good run in the final series. Sadly, they took on a night side
And not sadly, if you're a Knights supporter, with a fantastic back three were potent. Dom Young was just amazing. Marju, he just gets better and better. And Kalen Ponga, I bet you Stacey Jones has a smile on his face thinking, this guy's in my squad for the World Cup.
Yeah, not only Kalen Ponga, but Felix Crossland as well in the hooker role for Newcastle, I think, has been gone to another level this year. But like you said, Greg Marju, Dom Young just seems to be getting through ball work week by week. Kalen Ponga managing to chime in when he needed to for the Newcastle side just to be able to get the job done. I think the Rabbitohs on the flip side to that, you know, they'll be handing themselves pretty unlucky. You know, they're a very battered side. You know, Cody Walker going down didn't exactly help them help their case either. So the Rabbitohs, you know, they went out trying, but credit to Newcastle for just finding a way to get it done, and they managed to survive another week.
And I have to say, you know, that, you know, you never discount this Knights side out. They're a really good side. You know, a lot of two of their top players went out, but they've just kept on going. And to me, that I still believe they're a danger. Well, we go to the Saturday and Sunday matches in the NRL playoffs, and of course, the Sharks versus the Cowboys. Well, you have to favour the Sharks. They've got the talent, but their form has dropped off of late. The Cowboys, you think after they were beaten by 80 points by the Roosters, they'd be down and out, but they're still in with a chance. This match is a tough one to call. You would have to favour the Sharks, but never discount out the Cowboys with the likes of the Jason Tomalolos.
Yeah, that's interesting. For the Cowboys, to be fair, like the Sharks are coming in not exactly in the best of form. They've lost four of their last five matchups. Really that much better either. They've lost three of their last five, but included in those losses, the 82-12 dropping from the Roosters. So a very interesting matchup we'll see between the Sharks and the Cowboys. I think with the Sharks, they get full strength, including Brandon Trindle coming back into the side. He's probably been a bigger loss than I think most anticipated. I think just would have stepped up in the big moments for Cronulla. As much as Nicho Hynes likes to regard himself as the chief playmaker, Brayden Trindle, just that extra bit of X factor before that Cronulla backline helps him get the job done. But the Cowboys, on the other hand, they're a very interesting side. Like, they know, and I think Sonny Luke summed it up quite well through the week, like, they know that they can beat the top sides. They just have to be able to do it consistently, and we haven't quite seen it in 2026. So, well, they can turn it around tonight when it matters. But I think Cronulla, like many other people are thinking, should be able to get the job done.
Absolutely. And then Sunday, the minor premiers, the Penrith Panthers, and congratulations to them. We all watched on Sunday, but realised within the first 20, I think the Panthers will take the minor premiership this year. They take on a Roosters team that has had indifferent form. Panthers come in as big, big favourites. You know, Panthers do what Panthers always do when it comes to finals football. They win. This one, you would have to favour the Panthers.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of punters are heading to, be fair. You know, the Penrith train is just going to keep rolling again and again through this finals format. But I don't think the Roosters are going to be easy beats. To be fair, like, yes, they rested a lot of their guys against the Bunnies last weekend, so a lot of them are going to be feeling quite refreshed heading into this Sunday's matchup against Penrith. But with Stacey most likely going to be the chief playmaker this week, with Sam Walker still out with injury, partnering Hugo Savala, you know, they're back to full strength as well. James Tedesco playing great football. I don't think they're going to get the win tomorrow night, but I don't think they're going to be, you know, they're going to be a side that goes out in straight sets. And I still think the Roosters are good enough to be in the prelim finals in a couple of weeks, and they might not get the results tonight, but you know, I think they might still find themselves playing final football in a couple of weeks, and maybe even come October time as well.
Absolutely. NRLW, Warriors Wahine versus the Broncos. Warriors Wahine really need this win in the NRLW because it keeps them in touch of that important playoffs position.
Yeah, it's been somewhat of a lackluster season for this women's side, to be fair. Like, they coming into the season, there was a lot of media around them on how good this team could have been. And I think whilst we've seen glimpses and some results, you know, they haven't quite been able to string it together consistently and get the results throughout the whole season that they've been after. So they want to finish the season on a high to try chance to play final football come the next couple of weeks. I think it's been, you know, there has been some shining lights for the season. I think Gail Broughton and Mele Hufanga coming back to the Warriors has started to lay some foundations for the next couple of seasons, and hoping that we start to attract more local talent who have come through maybe the New Zealand pathway, or whether it be from New Zealand Sevens or whatnot back home. Hopefully we can start to attract more talent across to rugby league, but hopefully the results tonight can boost their chances of carrying on next week into finals football and then start to lay the foundation for the next few seasons for the Warriors women's side.
Absolutely. Anyway, we look at it. The National Premiership, men's and women's. Now, I'm not going to get into the South Island tournament, but it's a two-day tournament in the Hawke's Bay. Quite surprises me. Obviously, they're probably looking at finances around that. But you're there officiating, Joey. How does this tournament work?
Yeah, it's a very interesting format that we're seeing this year. And I think what we'll start to see over the next couple of years as well, not only with the men's and women's premierships, but across all the NZRL tournaments, is I think we'll start to see these 2-3-day tournament formats a lot more than what we're accustomed to compared to, I guess, the 6-week competition in the National Premiership that we used to see. Each team will play each other across the whole weekend, and then from this weekend, the top two from the North Island Premiership will play the top two from the South Island Premiership in a semi-finals kind of tournament style in a couple of weeks. But it's going to be very interesting to see how a lot of these sides stack up. Well, like, I look at the County's Manukau side playing this weekend, and there's a lot of experienced heads in the side. Tony Tui, Jeff O'Friend, Stedman Lefeu, Chris Tupo, a lot of guys who have been playing local football for a large number of years now. And whether they're going to be able to survive, you know, playing 4 games in 2 days is going to be a very interesting task. And I think that's where we might start to see a couple of these smaller districts like the Bay of Pinnies, the Waikatos, possibly get an upset if they've got the legs to be able to match it come day two or possibly even the end of the day when some of them are playing their 3rd game. Whether we can start to see some of these smaller districts challenge, I guess the big dogs, as some might say.
Absolutely. Well, Joey, I hope you have a good weekend. We'll catch up again at a more better time for both of us live, and we'll see how this tournament goes, but let's hope for a Warriors victory, Joe.
Yeah, let's hope we see that the Warriors get through tonight unscathed, and we hopefully see them with a weekend off, and we're talking more Warriors football in 2 weeks rather than next weekend. So all the best to the Warriors lads, and hopefully, you know, they can get the job done.
Well, it'll be interesting if they win tonight. Where do they go? Where do they go? That's a big thing. But that's chat for another day. Thanks a lot, Joey.
Awesome, mate. Always a pleasure.
Cheers.
And that was Joey Green. So next up, we're going to talk about a bit of American football with our very own Planet FM's Darren Lees from Third and Footlong, which is an American football show, also an American culture show. So let's play a bit of music.
She came from Greece, she has a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that the dab was loaded. I said my case on the front. Coca-Cola, she said fine.
time. She said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. Want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. What else could I do? I said, oh, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you got no money. And she just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah. I can't see anyone else smiling. Are you sure? You wanna live like common people. You wanna see whatever common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Went to flash above the shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some facts and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. And still you'll never get it right. It's when you're late in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. And just before I go any further, almost forgot, I've always got to always remember to play an ad, because I always tend to forget. And of course the sponsors really keep this show going, to be honest with you. So this segment is brought to you by Enterprise Recruitment, with branches nationwide. So finding the right people can be hard, and there are so many unexpected surprises. So cut out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment, where they will find you the right candidate to suit your business needs. So contact enterprise.go.nz and find the right person. Well, huge day at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Over 100,000 to watch the LA Rams versus the San Francisco 49ers. I know one man who had his eye on it, and he is the host of our very, very popular show on Mondays, which is the third and footlong show. Now, this is an American football show, so listen to it. Darren's going to give you all the times, and it's also about American culture. So he's fresh from being at the Happy Mondays. How are you, Darren?
Yeah, I'm certainly feeling like I over-concerted last night. You think that you can still pull off a big concert, but then the morning after the joints, maybe not recovering the same way as 35 years ago when the album was released.
Well, you're thinking about, that's because we just played a bit of Pulp with their Jarvis Cocker, but you were talking about some of that music, like Sean Ryder was with the Happy Mondays. That was all part of that Manchester scene, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That was kind of like the music of my childhood. So nice little reflection back to the days last night.
I was going to say, I was going to be cheeky and say, I thought the Beatles were your childhood, but I won't say that.
Come on.
Anyway.
My kids that go, what was it like in the olden days?
Yeah, we used to have TV. We didn't have cell phones. We used to speak to people face to face. Anyway, let's get on with it. NFL came to Melbourne yesterday. Over 100,000 people at 10 o'clock on a Melbourne morning went to watch the Los Angeles Rams go down to the San Francisco 49ers 27-7. Absolutely amazing scenes at the Melbourne Cricket Ground yesterday, Darren.
Yeah, look, remarkable. Now, obviously this game was marred by the fact that both coaches didn't want to be there. They were very public about this, that they were having to make this flight and one thing and another. And I think you saw that in the game yesterday. The 49ers actually turned up a week early, got used to the time zone. The Rams turned up the day before. Living off a lot of their own hype, everyone saying they were going to go 17-0, they were going to win the Super Bowl. That's not what we saw yesterday. We saw a pretty average Rams team. get absolutely trounced by the 49ers. You could tell the 49ers were there to win, and they had the Rams covered. The Rams couldn't really move the ball offensively. They couldn't really stop the 49ers. So it was quite an interesting game to watch when the Rams were being touted as this massive, high favourite to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, and when you look at it, it's like, obviously, I really love the 49ers because, A, there's that New Zealand connection with Ricky Ellison, the great Ricky Ellison, the great Joe Montana. But to me, it was just that atmosphere. And, you know, when the NFL commissioner said that it's likely they're going to go back to Melbourne again, this just makes everything good for American football, not only in Australia but in New Zealand. We have this affordable opportunity to go out and watch an NFL game. Admittedly, I did see the beer prices. They were quite extreme.
Yeah, look, I mean, I was talking to someone on Thursday night that was just devastated they weren't going to the game. The flights had got up towards about $1,500 at one point, which you could actually fly to America and watch a game for $1,500, you know. So, but say nothing, you know, the NFL's just a behemoth. It's a true global sport now. I mean, I was in the UK when the NFL started playing sort of like friendly games, and then I was there just about when they started playing competitive games, and you could see now they play in Munich, they play in Mexico, they've now started playing in Australia. So it is truly becoming a global sport. And when you can sell 100,000 in half an hour this game sold out in, and you could have probably have put two games on and you would have sold out. They play about six games in the UK every year now. Every game still sells out. So that shows you the power of the NFL as a global sport.
Just looking at this, like obviously the start of the season in Melbourne, and if the, you know, NFL in years to come go to, say, places like Melbourne where teams will know we need to get there early, we need to acclimatise. To me, I know that New Zealand would never be able to host an NFL game, but they could potentially host a pre-season game.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem that New Zealand have got, and we've found this with other events like Taylor Swift, it just doesn't have a stadium big enough.
No.
You know, everyone goes, oh, yeah, but Eden Park, 45,000. That's like, no.
No.
That's just not going to cut it in a sport like the NFL, you know. I mean, ironically, most NFL stadiums are between 65 and 75, so they're not massive bigger. But when you're going to Wembley at 85,000, when you're going to the MCG at 100,000, it would be hard. I mean, the great thing is that we've actually been able to get a State of Origin game.
Yeah.
That could be the start of trying to get New Zealand on the global sporting map.
Yeah, to me, I think reality is if we were ever able to get a pre-season game, I think New Zealand fans would flock to it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you see it when the Premier League teams come over, right? You know, the Premier League's another global sport, so there's no reason why we couldn't try and make a play for it. There's, you know, we could certainly put the money up to make it up. But I think Melbourne paid $20 million to get that game. And they reckon that the net benefit to their economy yesterday was $370 million. So it's a small investment for a huge return.
And when you look at it, the investment return would be huge because one thing about New Zealand, like we are sports fans. If there's a sporting event, you know, whether it's, you know, you look at the Women's World Cup was an example of that in New Zealand where people probably never watched much women's football, but they went there because it was a global event.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the 2011 World Cup, which I was lucky to be at for a lot of that, you know, you saw the same thing there. People would probably tell you need to build a 50,000-seater stadium in Queenstown because everyone wants to be in Queenstown. So, but, you know, I think the key for New Zealand is, and they're doing a lot of work on this at the minute about getting international tourists here and come and watch a sporting event and then go tour the rest of the country because it's not a place you can just nip to for 5 days. You know, you come here and it's an experience, right?
Absolutely. Well, when we look at the NFL, it's another big season ahead. Who are you picking as the dark horse? Darren, the team to watch?
Well, it's really interesting, you know, because the first two games of the season have already thrown up things that nobody expected. You know, the defending Super Bowl champion Seahawks, the people were a little bit kind of icy on because they'd lost a few players and what have you. Yesterday, two days ago, opened the season. Quarterback gets injured after five plays and they don't score for nearly three quarters. And you think, oh, my God, they won the Super Bowl and that's the end of them. And then they just completely shut down the Patriots and it became a completely different outcome. But when you look around the divisions, people have been pretty cold on the Eagles. But I think the Eagles have still got a very strong team. Mm. The problem with the Eagles last year is their internal culture kind of fell apart. One of those people that was a problem got shipped out to the Patriots. So it's going to be interesting to watch the Eagles. People are hotter on the Cowboys this year. I always think the Cowboys flatter to deceive. I don't think they've got a strong enough squad, but, you know, they could make the playoffs. You look around the league as well, you know, we saw the 49ers, they look strong. The Rams are going to be there. You know, they are going to be there. There's probably three teams out of that division, the 49ers, the Rams and the Seahawks, that are probably going to head to the playoffs. And then when you head to the American Conference, everybody's looking at the game on Monday between the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans. You've got this high-octane Buffalo offense led by Josh Allen, and then you've arguably got the best defense in the NFL in Houston. Both of those teams are going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. And then when you look further, you've got Patrick Mahomes coming back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Is he going to be the same Patrick Mahomes? That Chiefs is an aging team. Is experience going to carry them, or have they gone one season, two seasons too long? And then, of course, you've got the Denver Broncos, who lost their quarterback in that AFC before that AFC Championship game. Can they get back there again, and can they go one step further? If you're looking for some real outside bets, the New Orleans Saints, I was quite hot on them the end of last season. They could be a surprise pick this year. And then you could see the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow's talking hot about what offense, and they've certainly improved their defense. Their window's closing, so they've really got to make something happen pretty soon. So I'd look out for the Bengals in the AFC, and I'd look out for the Saints in the NFC.
Wow, that I've just sat back and with amazement of how you can just rattle that off, and that is just brilliant. And one thing about the NFL, the interest in New Zealand is huge. You go to any bar, Super Bowl day is just, it's a day off, but basically when you look at it, it is an it's turned into an absolute phenomenon in this side of the world.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to see teams start here. The problem is the money's just not here at the minute. So there are a few contact teams playing, and of course New Zealand and Australia play each other every year. Flag football, which is like
rugby,
That is now starting to take off at probably 5-6 times the speed of contact, because of course a lot of parents don't want their kids getting hit and injured, and CTE has become such a big thing in rugby, American football, and a lot of those heavy contact sports. So, you know, parents are pushing their kids more towards the lower contact stuff. So flag football is growing exponentially in New Zealand, which is great to see, because that just you know, kind of opens people up to the NFL even more.
It certainly does, and flag football, of course, will make its debut at the Olympics, and, you know, this is huge for the sport, and I just think it does suit the New Zealand culture, and it also suits, you know, our big Pacifica Maori athletes who are big beasts, and they really go well at gridiron, and you see a lot of contracts go in for, say, rugby players sometimes get a chance to go to college, but would be so good one day just to have a top New Zealand rugby player have a crack at the NFL. I'd love to see Caleb Clark have a go.
Yes, someone like that, or kickers is a lot where people are seeing. There's a few Australian kickers that are in quite, you know, there's one at the Denver Broncos there. Punter is an Australian guy, so there's no, and there's a few people at the NRL have kind of gone over and given it a go, so it's definitely more attainable than it's probably ever been. You know, the world's a much smaller place. Opportunities are there. As you say, there's already a lot of Pacifica connections in the NFL. Jordan Malamu at at the Eagles. So there's already some stuff happening out there already. So this is only going to grow. And, you know, as people get exposed to that, they'll get exposed to college football. It only takes a few people to come out of college. We've seen it in the WNBA. There's a New Zealand lady that's made it into the WNBA. So it's only a matter of time before we get some college athletes from New Zealand into the NFL. It's definitely out there.
Absolutely. And, of course, with the NCAA changing some of the rules around what a college player can potentially earn, it does make a huge difference. Darren, what's on the show on Monday?
So, Eamon, we're kicking off at 6:30 till 7:30 on Monday night. We'll obviously be reviewing the games in a bit more depth, certainly the opener and the Melbourne game. We'll be talking through some of the big college games this week as well. There's a huge game between Texas and Ohio State. That's the 1 seed and the 4 seed, so we'll be talking about that. And then we'll be running through the whole of the week 1 proper in the NFL, and we'll start to uncover who's looking good early on and who have we got some concerns over that might not be who we thought they were.
Absolutely, and I'm I'll be on CRL tomorrow. I might see you on there. I know that you're going to pop off at K Road and visit one of your favourite politicians.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, she'll be sat there waiting with a cup of coffee for me, but I'll of course have to pay for it.
I probably offended another member of parliament, but I don't care. Anyway,
don't worry about it.
Anyway,
don't forget by the election.
Yeah, oh, we won't talk politics. It's a sports show. There's two. That's the old story. What you don't discuss at a pub. What was it? Religion and politics. And in some cases, who should be the All Black coach? Anyway, we'll leave it there. Have a good weekend, Darren.
Thank you for having me on the show again.
Never a problem, man. We'll be calling you more. Cheers, thanks.
Thank you.
Darren Lee, brilliant, eh? He is a very intelligent man, knows his American football, but a hell of a funny bugger too. Anyway, we'll play a bit of music. Next up, we have Seamus Martin from Between Two Beers.
Fade away.
welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Don't look back in anger. Well, I hope I'm not looking back in anger at our EPL picks. So anyway, we move it on. Just if you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on that Auckland property market, I have two of the best people that I know that operate out of the Barford and Thompson office in Epsom. Their names are Robert and Deborah Thompson, Team Thompson, and they will help you with from anything from selling your family house to buying your first house to just looking at how the market is working. They're both professional and they're bloody good people. So Robert's number is 021-737-949, r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Deborah, her number is 021-673-600, d.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Big thanks to Rob and Deb. Anyway, we won't be looking back in anger. We'll be talking football. Seamus Martin, how are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks. Still buzzing off that cup weekend down in Christchurch.
Mate, it was amazing.
Great crowd in at One New Zealand Stadium, wasn't it?
11,000, over 11,000. Yes, good on you. New Zealand football, they opened the gates up. But it just shows the passion. Now, from there, the passion of football people down in the South Island, as I mentioned to you off air, 70-80% of the tickets for the Always Playing India at One New Zealand Stadium to Kaha are sold. We mentioned the Phoenix are going down there on Waitangi weekend to play a double header. This is huge for football in that part of the world, and it just brings that case as the years go on, and with the A-League being in the position that it's in at the moment, a possibility of another A-League team in New Zealand could happen.
Well, you're right. All the signs off the field point to things tipping in a positive direction. Spare a thought for Kashmir Technical, though, on the pitch, because both of their teams, men's and women's, unfortunately not able to lift the silverware. But let's start with off the field. 11,000 for that Chatham Cup final, over 5,000 for the Kate Shepherd Cup, which kicked off a couple of hours earlier. Superb to see fans voting with their feet and getting into the stadium, and great to see football on that new facility. In terms of the game, yeah, Kashmir Technical, they were outdone by Eastern Suburbs in the Kate Shepherd Cup. Suburbs will be celebrating back at Middles Farm. First win in that competition since 2019. Two goals in the second half really set the tone. They were 1-1 at half time, but eventually running out 3-1 winners. And Erica Skindoff winning the Maya Jackman Trophy, a goal and assist for her. So a pretty, I won't say comprehensive, but a pretty polished performance from Eastern Suburbs, who've been good in the Northern League as well, pushed Auckland United all the way in the league, so rewarded with some silverware, and they'll be back in action in the Women's National League in a couple of weeks' time. So superb for them. Congratulations to all involved for the Lily Whites and that. And then Fentables United, the fairy tale. First final, first win. They'd never been past the quarterfinals before. A 2-1 win over Kashmir Tech. 80th-minute winner to Cody Nicol. In the first half. Kashmir got their way back for a wonder goal, wasn't it? And then 10 minutes before full-time, Cody Nicol popped up with the winning goal. So they'll also be celebrating. Narrowly missed out on National League after a fifth-place finish, rather, in the Northern League. So Reece Rooker, the head coach there, really deserves a pat on the back for what he's been able to do with that side. And that would have been a phenomenal plane ride home, wouldn't it? And celebrations going long into the wee small hours, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and of course, National League playoffs, Western Suburbs versus Western Springs today. We move on to our under-20s, both men's and women's. Well, our under-20 men's had a 6-1 win over New Caledonia. They're in the final, I believe, against Tahiti. And of course, our women's under-20s denied a point against Japan with a very controversial VAR penalty, and of course went down to a very, very good Italian team. Still have to play the United States, and our under-17 women's had a 1-0 win over Fiji and an absolutely stunning goals.
Yeah, it was. Look, in terms of those youth teams, I think it's phenomenal to see in so many different parts of the world our best young players, both men's and women's, participating. Yeah, New Zealand under-19s confirming qualification to the under-20 World Cup with that 6-1 win over New Caledonia. You're exactly right. They'll be joined by Tahiti at that World Cup. They've still got the final to play against the Tahitians, but they comfortably accounted for them in the opening group stage match, 8-0. So expect them to lift the silverware in Samoa there and claim another Oceania title. But World Cup qualification was secured, which had been the primary focus. So that's superb. The under-16 women's over in the Solomon Islands, you're right, a 1-0 win, a gutsy win over Fiji, actually. A stunner to, as you rightly point out, Bonnie Rice, from Eastern Suburbs, a long-range goal. They've still got the Cook Islands to play, but they're already in the semi-finals, and you'd expect that side to qualify for another under-17 Women's World Cup. And, yeah, the under-20 women's over in Poland, late penalty against Japan. I really thought if they got a point there, they would have set themselves up potentially to try and get another against Italy. They were difficult to break down against Italy in that second group stage match. Eventually, a 3-0 loss, and, yes, USA coming tonight. 1 a.m. I expect that'll be a difficult game. So, look, not the case to be, but some vital international experience as well for some of those young female players, as they've potentially got an eye on forcing their way into Michael Mayne's thinking with a couple of games in Panama for the Football Ferns coming up next month as well. And great to see, actually, while we're talking international football, the All Whites confirming another two international fixtures coming up this month against Palestine and China.
Yes.
Before they take on Panama in the Karen Cup. So, and then they'll play either Japan or Ecuador. So four fantastic matches coming up for the All Whites in that September-October window, which is great for Darren Baisley's side, and good to get back on the horse as well so soon after the World Cup.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dead on. Of course, sadly, an injury, freak injury to Luke Brooks-Smith has at Portsmouth, where he was beginning to make some good progress there.
Yeah, that's right. Disappointing. He's had a stop-start career, hasn't he? There'll be a number of players, actually, that'll be looking to try and force their way into Darren Baisley's thinking. I expect he'll take a bit more of an inflated squad over there to Asia with the four matches being played. So, maybe it's some of the players in that under-19 team that are looking to try and force their way and perhaps travel across and get some valued international experience. But the most important thing, I think, from a New Zealand football fan's perspective is that we've got international games so soon after the World Cup. So there isn't this lull that we've seen on previous occasions. Four top fixtures there. And of course, India, as you mentioned at the top of the segment, coming over to New Zealand in November for two home games as well. So New Zealand football really working hard behind the scenes to ensure the international program keeps rolling on.
Absolutely. So we move on to our world-famous Inman Albert EPL picks. So how did we go last weekend, Hamilton?
Well, I've got two steps forward, one step back. We talked about maybe doubling our 4 out of 9 last week and after getting 2 in week 1, but we've dropped back to 3 out of 9 was my pick. So I think you had a couple different for me, but yeah, running at 33%, so below average. We wouldn't pass school C in the old vernacular, but I'll be honest with you, Eamon, I'm really struggling to pick some of these ones this week, and I've sat on the fence for no fewer than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games I'm picking as draws.
Absolutely. So what we are going to do is we do the first four games: Chelsea versus Hull, Liverpool versus Fulham, Aston Villa versus Nottingham Forest, and Bournemouth versus Brentford.
Well, the first two games, Chelsea versus Hull and Liverpool versus Fulham, I've gone with the home team to win. So Chelsea to beat Hull, Liverpool to defeat Fulham. In terms of the next two games, Aston Villa versus Nottingham Forest and Bournemouth versus Brentford, Bill Foley's not going to be happy with me here because I'm saying this finishes as a draw. And Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest, I can't separate them either, and I'm saying that's a draw. So, and for the opening four games, I'm going 2 home wins and 2 draws.
Well, I've taken Villa to beat Forest. Forest are in a huge trouble. that owner has really, he sacked another manager. God. Anyway, we move on. Yeah, we move on to the rest of the Sunday games. Crystal Palace versus Ipswich, Spurs versus Everton, Sunderland versus Arsenal.
Well, Sunderland versus Arsenal. Sunderland are generally strong at the Stadium of Light, but I'm tipping Arsenal to win here because, you know, they grinding out that result against Chelsea last weekend. I thought, you know, if anyone was going to have a pop at Arsenal early doors, it would be Chelsea. They didn't. Arsenal got away with a win, so I'm going to tip Arsenal to beat Sunderland away from home, which is maybe the controversial pick there. Palace versus Ipswich and Spurs versus Everton. Another two of my teams to draw, I'm saying. I'm picking draws in both of those games.
Okay, well, I picked Palace to beat Ipswich. I picked a draw on the Spurs and the Spurs-Everton game. Anyway, we move on to the Monday and Tuesday games. Coventry versus Brighton, the Manchester derby, Man United versus Manchester City, and Leeds versus Newcastle on Tuesday. First one, Coventry versus Brighton.
I'm picking a Brighton win away from home here.
While I
think Coventry could be strong at home, I just think that Championship, Premiership that I always talk about, step up, is going to start to show its form as we enter into match day four of the English Premier League. So Brighton to beat Coventry. In the Manchester derby, it probably doesn't surprise you. I'm leaning towards the blue side of Manchester. I think City will beat United. They're desperately unlucky. Last kick of the game draw against Everton last week, and I just think confidence might have taken a little bit of a hit after that, and Man City are flying at the moment. So I think they'll have bragging rights there. And Leeds versus Newcastle is my fifth draw of the weekend. I can't separate those two sides.
Okay, I took Brighton. I picked a draw in the Manchester derby, and I've taken Leeds.
Okay. All right. Well, we've gone on different tangents this week. So it'll be interesting to see whether my strategy of not being able to pick a winner in five of the games will come up better than the 3 out of 9 that we got the week before.
Well, yes. And if you're betting, bet responsible and don't listen to us.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah. Anyway, Seamus, how's the day planned out, mate?
Oh, look, I'm a round ball man through and through, Eamon, but I've got to say I'm sitting down here in Hamilton in my Warriors jersey, so I'm really looking forward to how this NRL finals weekend goes for the team. I stayed up late last night, a bit late, not on a school night, but watched the Knights versus South games as well. So I'm full into my rugby league this weekend, so up the wars and attempt fate that this could be our year.
Please don't say that. No. Please don't say that, Seamus. I've kept it. I've never said it is our you-know-what. I'm hoping for a good game. But, there's a lot of people now that have just heard this. There are hundreds of thousands who listen to the show every week. We're not up to your level of millions. They're probably putting their money on the Dolphins as we speak.
Well, look, there was a fantastic celebration at Go Media Stadium earlier this year when Auckland FC lifted the A-League Premiership title. So, let's hope for similar scenes for the Warriors in the finals. I think it's going to be a rockin' Go Media Stadium, whichever way you look at it.
Oh, mate, it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. So, look, I'm all about the oval ball today. And we'll see. We'll start the text back and forward tomorrow as there's EPL results.
Well, yes. I know when I've got a text from you saying it's good news. I'll be giving you a text if the Dolphins will win.
Exactly. And I'll be honest with you, mate. I'm looking forward to not getting up for 3 o'clock in the morning to watch that other team of ours in black take on the Springboks tomorrow. That'll be nice bit of one over breakfast.
Yeah, well, we've got CRL and we've got CRL opening, so I'm popping in to do some work tomorrow because I've got to catch up. So it's really looking forward to seeing how it all goes and everything. So hopefully, and I'll have my phone with my MySky, so I'll be doing work, keeping an eye on the rugby. So yeah, we'll leave it at that. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, mate. You too.
Cheers. Seamus Martin from Between Two Bears podcast. Fantastic. Hopefully our football does well. So anyway, let's play a bit of music next up. Former Davis Cup captain Jeff Simpson.
More or less.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. Well, we've come to the final Grand Slam of the year, and this tournament's been really interesting, but we must move on. And of course, here to join us, as he joins us, our tennis guru, the godfather of New Zealand tennis, as he's known, former Davis Cup captain, former top 100 ATP player, Jeff Simpson. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Eamon. How are you?
Excellent, mate. Excellent. Well, I can tell you something right now. I'm just keeping an eye. Obviously, we've got one semi-finals done in the men's, but we move on to the women's. Well, we feel like we're getting some normality back to women's tennis when the number one and number two seeds are in the final. Rabinka beat Coco Gauff 3-6, 6-4, 6-4 in a very, very tight match. And then Sabalenka was dominant 7-5, 6-2 over Pegula. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's the first time we've actually, for a while, I think, in the Grand Slam, we've seen the number one and number two in the final, especially as there were a lot of the good players, a lot of the players below them, you know, in ranking were playing really, really well and were having some good runs. So it's great to see those two players come through. Now Rebecca has now taken over the number one spot, which is very interesting. And both matches really dominated by power, I think. You know, we'll take Rebecca first. I mean, Coco Gauff's a really tough opponent. She's so fast and she fights so well. She's got a great temperament. She keeps herself under control the whole time. And I think it was a good effort for Rebecca to get through that. But in the end, it was probably her power. Her serve is, you know, undeniably one of the best in the game for the woman. And her backhand is, well, there's only one word I can describe it, it's superb, you know. And the power she sort of develops and her athleticism around the court, I can see now she's getting a lot faster, which is really good. And Sabalenka, on the other hand, who's completely opposite to Rebecca in the sense of temperament, she's very emotional, she wears all her thoughts on her shoulder. You can see it a mile away. She was just too overpowering for Pegula again, who has had a good run through the summer, Pegula, and she's very solid. You know, she doesn't let you get away with anything, and she makes you win. And in the end, I would say, you know, bullets beat speed around the court and consistency. So it was good to see to see Sabalenka actually come through and win that, because, you know, she does love the US Open. That's where she does play her best tennis. And now we've got an interesting final where we've got, on one hand, the very volatile, emotional, as I said, wears all her emotions on her shoulders and the power that she brings to the game. And then we've got Rebecca, who is quite, you know, a little bit more laid back, a little quieter, just gets on with it. And, you know, a lot of times you need the coach in there to sort of give her a bit of a hurry up, you know, and to get herself going. But I think it's going to be a really good final.
Absolutely. And when you think about it, there's not much that separates those two players at all, Jeff.
No, there's not. That's why I say it's going to be a really good... I think temperament in the end may do it, you know, just to keep as really... you know, in those tight moments. There's going to be a lot of tight moments in that match, and I think it's who really handles themselves best in that situation that will eventually come through, because they've both got great games, really big, and, you know, if she can keep the ball rolling, Sabalenka, she's extremely dangerous, of course, as we know, and then you've got the silent but deadly Rebekkina, you know.
They're just so dominant, aren't they, Jeff?
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, years ago we spoke about Swiatek and Goff, but these two are just, there seems to be a gap between the top two and the rest.
Well, they're just developing their games with more power, you know, and that's what's going to do it in the end. I mean, they're both, you know, the girls that are 6 foot, you know, and great athletes to go with it, and, you know, perfect, you know, biomechanics and, as I said, both served really, really put a lot of pressure on their opponent. And then, you know, they see that first shot's a little bit short and, you know, they're just really committing to it. And doesn't give them, you know, everybody else a, you know, a lot of chance, because they're just seeing the ball earlier, getting it a little earlier and just taking their time and space away from their opponent.
Absolutely, and of course then we go to the men's. Well, one of the finalists, Zverev, didn't have it all his own way, but was very dominant in his semi-finals.
Yes, that was a good match. I mean, Kachanova has played really well in the tournament. You know, like, he's another guy, you know, well in the 6 foot range, and big serve, has been around for a long while, so, you know, plays his matches really, really well, and you know, beats all the people that he should beat, but, you know, playing somebody like Zverev that probably does everything just a little bit better. Again, you know, the serve is really good. The backhand is superb. His forehand's improved. He's playing up in the court a lot better now than he used to. He's looking for that ball instead of sort of, you know, being 2 feet, 2 metres behind the baseline, getting it back. So, you know, he's made some good changes to his game, but, you know, his serve is, again, a huge, huge weapon, and, you know, you've got to return very, very well to break his serve.
You'd have to, because Zverev is just playing brilliant tennis. But the other semi-finals, well, it's an all-American finals, and both players are very well known to people, to any of us that do go to the ASB tournament. Taiafoe versus Shelton, and of course, both have come out to New Zealand, played in the ASB tournament.
Yeah.
You know, very popular, both of them are. I feel for Ben Shelton, he really needs this one to get into this final.
And yeah, he's the one, probably, you know, as they call him, the big foe. You know, he's been around a little bit longer, and, you know, he's a good player without having, you know, anything really. I mean, I don't mean not huge, but he hits the ball good. You know, he plays his points, you know, he gets up in the court, he's got a lot of power in his ground strokes, his serve. I just feel that Shelton has two things that are bigger. He has the serve, obviously, which we know is probably one of the best serves in tennis today, as we saw against Alcaraz. And he's got, you know, like a phenomenal forehand, and he's a really, really good athlete. And the way he played against Alcaraz, he had a good game plan. You know, he took all Alcaraz's angles away from him, from the back. He kept it down the middle, nice and hard down the middle, and then waited for the shorter ball to attack. And, you know, you can see him growing each match. And I just don't know what Taiafoe has got to really, really, really hurt him. I think Shelton has the serve, obviously, that he can, you know, get a lot of free points on. And I think when you're facing something like that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you to hold your serve when you know the other guy is going to be holding his serve pretty comfortably most times. So I think that's going to be probably the difference in the end. I think Shelton has got, you know, like with his team around him, he's very confident. He looks really good on the court. Not saying Taiafoe doesn't. He also has the same confidence. But I think, as I said before, I think the serve is going to be the big difference in that match.
And, of course, when you look back at it, Jeff, It's been a long time since the United States player has won the US Open. We're talking Andy Roddick, probably been the last one.
Yeah, it has been, and it's quite surprising because they're the country that has got the most men and women, the most players in the top 100. I think they've got about 15% players in the top 100, which is, you know, their players are around, I think Shelton's up to, what, six now or something, but... You know, we had Fritz coming along. He's sort of been right there for quite a while. You got Tommy Paul. As you say, you got Kyrgios. Now you got these younger guys coming up. So, it would be good. It's going to be great to have an American in the final, that's for sure. And whoever it is going to have a lot of support, which is going to help a lot too, especially in that Ash Stadium where, you know, it's... There's a lot of noise going on in there.
You're in the middle of Queens here, and then they like to yell at Queens, as you know, Jeff.
And yeah. Shelton has been through college tennis, and that's what it's like in college tennis. So if he gets there, you know, he's going to thrive in that environment. That's for sure.
Yeah, and of course, then we have this will be the last time we speak for a while, but I'm hoping at some point, and we're negotiating this with the station and yourself, we're hoping to have around Boxing Day a special where we'll do a pre-record and we'll talk about some of the great days in New Zealand tennis, Jeff.
Yeah, okay, that'd be great. Yeah, love to do that.
And then we've got the ASB Classics for both a woman and men's, and I'm really hoping now, you've just said the two names in the last semi-finals, the chances of either getting one of those two back for the ASB would be huge.
It would be, and, you know, Nico does a great job every year, as you know. Gets some really good players out here, and so I'm sure he'll be working his hardest to accomplish something like that, yeah.
We hope that it's going to be a good tournament and it's the highlight of the Auckland summer. So yeah,
it brings a lot to the city, you know, not only in revenue but, you know, people coming into the city and into Auckland. It's really good, and we just hope the weather's okay because following year we're going to have the roof.
That'll be great. That'll be a game changer, not only for tennis, but actually it will be a game changer for the Manuka Doctors Arena, because the simple reason is it won't just be tennis that can be hosted there. There's a number of events.
And
for years we've needed a roof, you know.
Yeah, we have.
And it's good that it's happening.
It's just that the top players know that they can come in and they play their first round on Wednesday. They know that they've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They're going to get their matches in, and so they can afford to come here and not have to worry about the rain. And I think, as you said, it's really, you know, a fantastic effort by Tennis Auckland to get that funding up there. You know, thanks to the government and thanks to Auckland City, and also thanks to the, you know, Auckland Tennis for investing as well. And as you said, it's going to bring in a lot more other things for the other 50 weeks of the year, because now the court's been lengthened and wide, and you've got, you know, more area to do other things, and you've got the temporary stand there that, you know, they're putting it up each time the tournament comes. So, you know, you've got a lot of scope for a lot of other sports to enjoy that, you know, the roof as well. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
I think it's an absolute win-win. I know that Eden Park is talking about a roof, but I believe a game changer for this country would be for a stadium like Eden Park, if they ever got it, would be a retractable roof.
Yeah.
It would be an absolute game changer. Jeff, thank you so much for making yourself free as per normal and helping me through these unusual names, which I try and pronounce and butcher. And you're, thank goodness I've got a pro like you there, Jeff.
No problem. Thanks, Damon.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Okay. Jeff Simpson, absolutely brilliant, isn't he? He's just a wonderful guy, just a great bloke to have a chat to. Anyway, next up, we're going to get the panel on, which is Brendan Telfer and Mark Watson.
So long ago, I don't remember when. That's when they say I lost. lost my only friend. Well, they said she died easy of a broken heart disease. So I listened through the cemetery trees. She always had a pretty face. I wondered why she hung around this place.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and I have to say it's we've got to the last part of the show, which is our panel. Just before we get on to there, well, it all starts tomorrow. CRL, and of course, a venue, one of our sponsors, is going to be so close to the action that you'll be able to get off at Mangawhai Station and walk down to the Horse and Trap. They're based at Free Enfield Street. They have a daily food and drink specials. They're probably some of the best food there. It's fantastic. A service above anything. And of course, if you're always looking for that function, they have one of the best function rooms in Auckland. It's a fantastic. I've been there for a number of special events there. So make sure you get down to the Horse and Trap. Their number is 09630 3055, or if you need to email them to maybe book a table for dinner or lunch, their email is info@horseandtrap.co.nz. Well, we can move on to the last part of the show. The panel here to join us on line one, the man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic, Mark Watson. Good morning to you.
Morning to you, Eamon. Morning to your listeners.
And on line two, an absolute icon of New Zealand sports broadcasting. We're very lucky to have him on the show, Brendan Telfer.
Good morning, Eamon. Yeah, I'm fit and well, ready to go.
Absolutely. So we kick it off. Mark, we're going to start off with you. All Blacks versus the Springboks. A number of changes Dave Rennie has made. Many agreed, many had to make. But this match is just so important, Mark. And I've heard everyone saying, well, it'd be no shame if we lost. Well, I think a win for the All Blacks gives them confidence going into the end of the season. It gives them confidence going into next year's World Cup. And I think Dave Rennie, the changes he has made, with a couple of exceptions, like I still Bowden Barrett and on the bench, yeah, Anton Leonard-Brown, personally I thought they should have gone for Rico only, but I think he's made the right changes.
Yeah, look, it is a must-win test for the All Blacks. I don't think they want to lose three in a row to South Africa. Look, I just don't think we should accept three losses in a row. We are the All Blacks, and keep saying that. We cannot continue to just sort of get apathetic and, look, South Africa in a golden era, I get that, all of that. But also, look, we lost the series in South Africa, so I see this as a sort of an individual test match on its own. But, you know, we played them twice last year. We won one, we lost one. You know, if we come away this year with them having 1-2 and us winning 2, you know, I think we are on an upward trajectory. I think they've sort of plateaued a little bit. Dave Rennie will find out pretty quickly why being the All Black coach is arguably the hardest job in New Zealand. I think if he loses 3, I think he's had a pretty good run so far, but I think it'll be knives will be not so much the knives for him coming out, but I think there'll be some serious questions asked. I think there'll be some serious questions asked of Jason Ryan, the scrum coach, if the scrum continue to go backwards. It's interesting. I saw the weight packs, or the packs weights the other day on that second test. It was about 7 kilograms difference, and yet, you know, we still got monstered. I watched Westlake Boys High School play Kelston in an Auckland 1A final, and the Kelston forward pack was just massive. Yet Westlake, who are incredibly well-poached, actually had, you know, dominated them at scrum time, dominated them at set piece, which says that, you know, so much of scrummaging is technique as much as it is size. So, you know, I think there's a bit of pressure on some areas. Look, yeah, I'm not a fan of Bowden Barrett coming on. I sort of feel like this is almost his farewell test. They're just rewarding them now for perseverance, and I'm not sure that's what the All Blacks should be about. I just don't know why we suddenly need a guy who can cover fullback and first five on the bench when you've already got probably three guys that can switch places quite easily and fill those roles. I don't actually have a problem with Anton Leonard Brown. I think he's actually a better defender than Rico Ioane. And I think we just want to get off to a good start. I don't think we're going too wrong there. Obviously, big loss, Fabian Holland being out. Croc, not available. But then the same, that'll be interesting to see what Dowry and Tuipulotu can do together. Slightly different players. A tight head, I think, is the biggest concern for us in regards to, I think Lomax has been really disappointing this season. But look, I have a feeling we will win this one tomorrow. And I guess the question you can maybe ask the South African fans, and it's a question I've been posing too, and maybe Brendan might have a point of view on this, would the series have been different if the series was played in New Zealand, not South Africa? Would the gap have been even closer? Yeah, so plenty to ponder.
Brendan, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think it's a very unusual time for All Black Rugby and for Dave Rennie. If they lose tomorrow, which I think is likely, I can't see any argument that anyone can make to suggest that the All Blacks in any way could be favourites for this test match, given the form that they've shown in the last two test matches and the absence of Ardie Savea as well. I think the All Blacks were leading in that test match last week until Savea went off the field, which I think says a lot. But if the All Blacks lose tomorrow, they join the most unenvious club in All Black history. In the 22 years of All Black rugby since 1903, only four teams during that time have lost three test matches in a row, three All Black test matches. 1929, which I've can't shed any light on that. 1949, which was the horrible year when we were beaten 4-0 by the Box in South Africa. And then the Australians were here at the same time playing test matches against, I suppose, the C team for New Zealand, and we lost a couple of those. 1998, we lost five in a row under John Hart and Tane Randall. How Hart retained his coaching job, I don't know, but he did. And then in 2022, the All Blacks lost three under Ian Foster, and he hung on to his job because the World Cup was the following year, and felt it was too close and unfair to throw in Scott Robertson, even though by the look of it, as history shows, they had lined him up for the job. So it's very rare for the All Blacks. In 630 test matches they've played since 1903, only four times have they lost three test matches in a row. But I think Mark is just covering up a few cracks here on a few areas that the All Blacks have been thoroughly outplayed in. They were outplayed almost across the field last week in Soweto. The scrum, the maul, the breakdown, penalties, goal kicking, and even their much maligned backline scored some tries, attacking tries, which we would have been very proud of. Yet at the end of it all, there was only 5 points difference. And if Reuben Lovett had his goal-kicking boots on, he might have even won that match. And one thing you can say about the All Blacks through those 122 years, doesn't matter how poor their form might be today, they can beat any time, they can beat any country, any time, anywhere, and any place. And so the All Blacks will be fired up, they'll be determined. But I think the problems with this All Black side are quite deep at the moment. And, I mean, I've never seen in my life an All Blacks pack go backwards 20-odd metres like the All Black pack suffered last week and gave away a try under the post. I mean, that's just absolutely foreign to every All Black team. So I hope they win. I desperately want them to win. But I'm not expecting them to win.
Yeah, I don't know about this one, guys. I'm hoping we win. I'm more not expecting. Mine is more hope. And, you know, it's the old adage, basically, to see an all-black scrum go back is concerning. And to me, we need to get Mike Cron back in that all-black setup.
I think Owen Franks has done some really good things when he was helping out the Japanese scrum, and I remember them had parity with us. And I think a guy like Franks needs to come in, but I think we should be asking questions. I genuinely think we should be asking questions of Jason Ryan and his, and his skill set. You know, again, he was part of that Crusaders setup. He got a job because the Crusaders were a very good sort of Super Rugby side. We thought the same of Scott Robertson, and obviously Scott Robertson, we pretty quickly realised that Super Rugby, Super Rugby, and it's not international rugby. And, you know, I just wonder whether we can start asking those questions and whether or not we see any improvement. Yeah, look, I think probably Brennan's being a little bit harsh, but I do agree with him a lot of it. I think the scores have flattered New Zealand at times. However, I've got to admit, I thought through the first 30 minutes, particularly last week, and maybe even through the first half, I sort of came into half-time feeling like we would win that test.
Yeah.
I thought the first 30 minutes that the All Blacks have played. And as you said, we suddenly lose Ardie Sevilla, and you're going, where's the leadership? And yet they always talk so much about this leadership team.
Well, they've got a huge leadership group, but yeah, as soon as Ardie Sevilla went off, I felt maybe not. But anyway, we move on. Warriors versus Dolphins, a big night in Auckland at Go Media, sold out. If you can get a ticket, obviously people probably are getting a little bit overconfident, I feel, in the city, because the Dolphins, they've won 7 games in a row. There's only been 2 points that have separated these sides in the last 3 encounters. The biggest talking point has not been about the game, Brendan. It's actually been about this ticket scalping. And you know what? There's probably, I know that people put tickets on Trade Me, Facebook. We can't stop that, but there has to be something. Someone's got to do something.
Eamon, get over yourself. Get over yourself.
What do you mean, get over myself?
Well, sporting bodies from the Olympic movement to the FIFA, International Football Federation, have tried every possible way to stop ticket scalping. But it's in our human kind of makeup. When there's a deal somewhere on the table, we're all attracted to it. I don't care. If some guy wants to pay $500 for a ticket tonight to watch the Warriors, well, so what? And he should be allowed to sell it online, shouldn't he? I mean, if you've got a car you want to get rid of and you take it along to the local car yard and the guy says, oh, no, I'll give you $5,000 for it, there's nothing stopping you putting it online for $20,000 or any price you want to. Why should it be any different for tickets that you've bought? I mean, sure, the sports body doesn't want to be giving thousands of tickets to a few individuals who are going to flog them all, but they can put restrictions, which they're legally entitled to put restrictions on the number of tickets they could sell, but I don't think they should have the right to stop people putting them online.
You can't, and it stops the free market economy, it stops things like that, Brendan. But I think my point is that the laws around it, and this is what I probably didn't present it to you.
Well, are there laws? What are the laws?
There's one law, but it doesn't cover an event like this, like the Warriors playing the Dolphins, for the simple reason is that it only covers major world sporting events in New Zealand. So there's not much that it can do. But when we look to the field, the football, well, I'm hoping that this is not a distraction to what should be a good game, Brendan.
No. Won't be. The Warriors and the players won't be giving 2 seconds of their time to the price of tickets. And I imagine it'll be a good match. The Dolphins are a good side. You would think, you know, the home crowd at that venue at Mount Smart could be the difference. And also, remember, the Warriors have had a really difficult run for the last 3 or 4, maybe even 5 weeks, with injuries and key players. God knows how many halfbacks or 5'8"s they've lost, and yet they keep winning. But thankfully, most of the players who've been sidelined are back for this match. So this is back to the kind of Warriors side, you know, that took the Panthers apart 5 or 6 weeks ago. So I can't
I can't see them blowing this, actually, to be perfectly honest, but it's sport. You never know.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. Your thoughts on tonight's match, Mark?
Oh, look, I've said this during this week. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors drop this one. However, I still think they'd go on and win the whole thing. I know that sounds strange, but that was performance last night. If they had dropped this one, I think they end up playing the Newcastle Knights, who upset the Rabbitohs last night. And I think we've been just as good on the road, whether we have to play away, whether we have to play at home. So, look, I think even if we were to drop this one tonight, I don't think it's the end of the road. I'm not going to get overly discouraged by it. I think, as you mentioned, this is a very, very good Dolphins team. This is a banana skin game. This is the playoffs. I think it's a good thing we're not playing them at Eden Park, where it's a wider ground and we can be sort of found out a little bit out wide. Hopefully we just play them through the middle and we just keep it nice and tight. But we are going to need to tighten up defensively. We have conceded a lot of points in recent weeks. Good to see Haleah Seema back into the centres there, which you know, has been sort of a bit of a revelation. Crowd behind them. I want the Warriors to win. The Warriors should win, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if we got tipped up by the Dolphins too. The playoffs, as Brendan will know, mate, I mean, there's always that one team that goes on a run. There's always that one team, and it's not necessarily the top two teams that just find a way and get that momentum going and often go all the way through to a grand final and potentially do win it. I just wonder whether it might be the Dolphins.
Well, the Dolphins are in the top four anyway, aren't they? So
yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, but very few, if ever. I think there might be one or two instances in 100 years that a team outside the top four have gone through the system, the playoff system, and won it. So, with all due respect to your comments about the Knights who finished the sixth or seventh,
I don't think the Knights win it. I think we'll beat the Knights if we lose tonight, Brendan. Yeah,
and they play the Knights at home anyway because they finished. Yeah.
They do.
Round robin. So I think the winner, the finalists will come from those four teams: Dolphins, Warriors, Roosters, Panthers. Take your pick as to who you think will be in the final. A lot of the Australian pundits, you watch those talk shows on Sky during the week, and they're all talking up the Warriors. Now, whether that's to try and lull them into a false sense of sort of confidence, but they are getting very high marks from a lot of pundits across the ditch about they almost take for granted that they'll be in the final.
I think we've got a great chance in doing this, and I think the more interest we'll be if they win tonight, where they'll be playing in a couple of weeks' time, probably very likely going to Eden Park because basically the NRL, they want the money. But I look at this Warriors side, and I just look at what the goodwill and how they've played in the spirit. People have enjoyed it.
Yeah, they do. They're a phenomenon, you know. My wife, who's got no great interest in sport at all, is wedded to the Warriors, and she's so much a fan of the Warriors, she calls them by their Christian names, which mean nothing to me, apart from one or two players. But this is the sort of phenomenon that's come around as a result of the way they played and the way they project themselves, the way they relate to their fans, the way they appreciate their fans, and all of their media work is very positive. And so there's an object lesson there for a lot of other New Zealand sports, actually. You know, success isn't just about on the field. The Warriors are a good example of that.
Yeah, they built a good culture.
It's always been my criticism of particularly rugby. It's never been about the fan enough for me. You know, I watch a lot of English Premier League football, and you always see the Liverpool fans or whoever the senior support, it's always about the fans. Everything is fan-centric, and it's a nice little word you can use on a PowerPoint presentation. But, you know, when I see the All Blacks lose and the All Blacks look badly, I see often the players look to the heavens and thank the good Lord and then acknowledge the opposition and the boys will be doing it tough tonight. What I actually just want to hear them come out and say, I'm sorry, we really let down the New Zealand fans, and I know your fans are going to be doing it tough. Or equally, you know, when they do win, just firstly coming out and acknowledging the fan, it should be the first thing they acknowledge before anything else, because at the end of the day, they're our team and they've got no commercial viability without us. But the Warriors also, I mean, the NRL as a whole, you know, I think just the multiple narratives they constantly have on, they don't try and treat us like we're all of the highest moral sort of standing. You know, there's scandals in the game, there's not so much to celebrate, there's negativity as well, and it's just sort of like almost, you know, the NRL is almost just reflects society and maybe who we are as humans. You know, there's some good stuff, there's some bad stuff, where rugby just tries to keep everything so pure that it's almost got to the point where, the only thing you're left to sort of engage you in rugby is the 80 minutes in the middle of the park, and I just don't think the game at time is strong enough to keep that level of engagement.
And especially in Auckland, we look at it here, like rugby, especially in the Auckland region, I believe has basically is at the moment for your normal sports fans is a very, very distant third.
Well, Eamon, look at where the Auckland rugby team is on the points table in the National Provincial Championship.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Appalling, mate, appalling.
Absolutely appalling.
I don't think appalling. I think what's happened, I don't know why, but they've basically fielded young kids in that Auckland side. Promising players have been plucked out, I suppose, of first 15s, which is a big competition. It's probably bigger than the actual provincial Auckland side in terms of its following. But they've got some very talented young kids in this side, but they're up against very experienced players of most of these other teams, and they just can't match it. And maybe in a couple of years, this Auckland side will be a good team. And I guess you've got to give them some credit if they're going to stick with them through these difficult, hard times.
It certainly does. Anyway, Brendan, LIV Golf, obviously all gone. What happens to a player like a Ben Campbell?
Well, he will be looking for somewhere else to play golf next year, I suspect. Same with Danny Lee. LIV, I don't think LIV is absolutely dead and buried. If you listen to the stuff coming out of LIV, they reckon they've got a new investor lined up, and they're going to have a slimmed-down version of LIV Golf next year. They'll reduce the number of players. I think on the payroll at the moment, they've got about at least 50-odd. I think it'll be more like about 30. And they're going to put more emphasis on teams golf. Goodness only knows why. What a bore watching three or four players in some fictitious name team. But anyway, that's what they're going to do. But they may not be able to because they owe so much money. They filed for bankruptcy. Guys like John Rahm, he's still owed $7 million from his sign-on fee, which they haven't paid. And so it's a mess. There's no question about it. And I think most golf fans won't shed any tears if it folds and disappears into the sunset. It hasn't really changed the face of golf. It's made some golfers extraordinarily rich. It's obscene the amount of money they've been paying these players. But it looks like the gravy train is about to stop.
Absolutely, Mark. NFL, did you see the NFL in Melbourne? Over 100,000 people.
Wonderful spectacle. Look, they always do it well, the Americans, don't they? Look, it's a wonderful game, gridiron, American football. If it wasn't just so stop-start, if it just had the fluidity, it's a lot to like about it with the downs and the way it's played and the sort of, I guess, the premise behind it all. Brock Purdy, San Francisco, I've sort of always taken interest of him because, of course, he was always known as Mr. Irrelevant, the last draft pick of that particular year, and expected to do nothing and then, you know, gets given an opportunity and he's become one of the real superstars of the league, just giving hope to so many players and one of those stories they'll sort of make into a movie. But look, is there a better stadium? Well, I mean, sure, there are better stadiums, but the MCG, isn't it just a wonderful facility? You get 100,000 people in there at sort of downtown Melbourne.
10 o'clock in the morning too, Mark. Yeah, 10 o'clock.
People are going for the novelty factor as much as anything. And look, well done to the NFL. And, you know, by all accounts, a thoroughly entertaining game. But that's American sport, isn't it? I mean, the Americans go well beyond the actual game itself in terms of the entertainment and the expectation and the fan engagement.
Absolutely. And, of course, gentleman Liam Lawson in the Red Bull seat, he's had two practices, top 10 finish. It was all over the Herald website, but that will garner a lot of interest over the weekend. Brendan.
I get confused exactly what's coming and what's going with Liam Lawson. And he's in one Bulls team one week and then he's in the other one the next week. Someone else injured and all the speculation about whether he's going to be promoted. He's had a really tough couple of years and I think he's come through it much the better of it. He's a more mature, intelligent sort of person who's dealing with all of these adversities that seem to be thrown his way. I think fundamentally he will prevail and become one of the leading Formula drivers. It might be 3 to 5 years, but I think he's on that track, and
I follow them very closely. I don't understand much about what goes on under the bonnet or how these teams work with their movement of their personnel, but he's had a fantastic year, I think. In fact, if I was still on the Helberg Award panel, I'd be having him as a finalist in Sports Man of the Year. Probably wouldn't win it, but I think he deserves that kind of recognition.
Anyway, I'm just going to call it early for another 20 seconds, Mark. What's the plans for the weekend, mate?
Oh, Warrior tonight, rugby tomorrow, radio show tomorrow afternoon. And
give them hell.
Just go out there and throw a few verbal hand grenades amongst the South African fans and then watch all the negative comments on social media, loving every minute of it.
Brendan, what's your plans for the weekend? Are you going on CRL?
Yeah, I'll be watching the Warriors, obviously, tonight. I've been enjoying the test cricket and the golf. We've had a good weekend with our golfers, both their, Kazuma Kabori last night was right up there in second place in one of the big events on the DP World Tour, the Irish Open, because Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry playing every year, they doubled the prize money, $6 million.